You are normally very stupid. But this time, you have devised a very good plan.
You're listening to Extra Life Radio. And now, Scott Johnson.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to Extra Life Radio. This is the Thursday minicast that I promised earlier in the week, and as promised, we have two special guests with us today. As many of you know, and some of you may not know, Extra Life was recently featured as a reviewed comic on the podcast for webcomics and webcomic geeks everywhere called Digital Strips. They're at digitalstrips.com. And they gave me a great review. It was really constructive and helpful. And what was interesting about it is I totally agreed with it. I totally dug on it. I thought it was great. And so I've had this conversation going back and forth with the guys over there talking about the possibility of maybe one time talking to each other on the Extra Life radio show. And here's our big, giant chance. So I'm excited to introduce these two guys to you. First of all, we have Zamson from... should I tell people where you live? I probably shouldn't.
It's on the site. We tell people where we are.
All right, good. He's from Pennsylvania. You said Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia. He's from Philly. I'm just trying to talk street cred
here. Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy. and from Atlanta, right?
Yep.
We have Daku the Rogue, and he's coming to us from Atlanta, so that's nice and hot and sweaty, and we're glad to have him here as well. So welcome, guys. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Let me start the show by saying that, giving you big thanks, the review that you guys did on Extra Life I thought was great. It was very positive. It was also pretty constructive in terms of a critique. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, I gained sort of a new appreciation of my own instincts. A lot of the things you guys said, I kind of went, yeah, that's what I thought. And so anyway, good work.
We're always surprised that people actually like pay attention to the things we say, because we're just, all we do is talk.
Yeah. Well, here's something I noticed though from that show and other shows, and I've been listening to Digital Strips since the beginning. You guys have, how do I put this? You just seem to really be educated on what you're talking about. So this isn't just like this isn't just some fly by night joint where you guys are just going, I saw a webcomic the other day and I thought it was funny. You guys are actually looking at archives, and a lot of them apparently.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you really do your research, and it came out in those reviews, not just of mine, but those other strips. And so that was pretty impressive. Kind of brings me to the next point. You guys obviously really enjoy what you're doing, and you do a great job. What made you think of the idea in the first place? Who wants to answer that?
Oh, that's all, Samson.
Tell me about the source of all of this. This is cool.
Well, let's see. I guess it was about a year ago. Daku and I were working on our own comic strip. We were.
Actually, I think that was 2 years ago.
Oh, was it 2 years ago? I guess it was.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Time flies, man.
We were talking about doing our own comic strip, where I was going to draw and Daku was going to write it, and we did maybe 15, 16 strips or something like that.
Well, we had three different attempts until we found one that made people laugh.
Gotcha. So how did you gauge that? How did you know if they were liking it or not?
We were actually showing them around our office, mm-hmm. Pretty much like that, and engaging people's reactions. But we'd been reading webcomics a lot, and we're trying to find a way to distinguish ourselves, because we came up with the worst concept ever. I mean, they may have been funny, but it ended up being, it was two guys, all right, get this, tell me if you've heard this one.
All right.
Two guys who work in a video game store, they play a lot of video games, and they make a lot of jokes about video games.
Oh yeah, this is totally new, dude, never heard of this before.
Oh, right, I know. So, like, hey. How can we do, we're trying to come up with ways to distinguish ourselves, and the idea of doing a downloadable audio show came up at the time, like 2 years ago. And I think I'd come up with that because I listened to Your Mac Life, which is an online it's an online radio show that you download. I don't know if you've heard of that. I know you're a Mac user.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's what made me think of it. Obviously, the comic died. But when I heard, years later, when I heard about this concept of podcasting, you know, it sort of revitalized the idea of doing the audio show.
Yeah, well, that's great. So let me...
Of course, I didn't believe him. Let's do an audio show. Okay, sure.
Sure. Comic to audio show. You can see the leap there. Well, hey, yeah, I know the pain, you guys. This is something I've had to actually go through. One of the, obviously, the most overused areas of content when it comes to webcomics is video games and geeks that play them. And I've been through that stage. Some would say I'm still in the stage, but I think I've found kind of a happy medium. But that is a very oversaturated part of webcomics.
Yeah, totally.
There's no doubt about it.
Totally.
It's like almost 20-30%. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. It's way, way heavy in that regard. And so hopefully some of us, myself included, can continue to try to pull away.
One of the things that really fuels that is the most popular webcomics that are on the web and the ones that allow the creators to be financially dependent on the comic have to do with video games.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's the model. That's what people want. So it's hard to, when you're thinking of webcomics and you want to be successful, you want to be a professional cartoonist, I mean, that's a genre, that's a type of comic that you can't avoid.
Yeah.
Plus, you go out looking for one, and then what do you find?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
games.
Exactly. Yeah, if you think of games, or if you think of comics online that do well, Penny Arcade, PvP, Control-Alt-Delete, there's others. But they all sort of fit that niche. PvP not so much as the others, but the point is that and I also think that the gaming world lends itself to the kind of geekery that makes you think you can do a comic online, meaning you're going to have some of the skills you need to get it out there. You're kind of web savvy anyway. It attracts that kind of person. And I'm a gamer through and through. I absolutely love video games. I know, Zamson, you're kind of a gamer as well.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well, we're different gamers. He's a first-person shooter who happens to play role-playing games. and I play role-playing games nonstop, who gets convinced to play first-person shooters to try and kick his butt.
I see. Okay, cool. Well, that's a question later in the show. I want to ask you about some of your favorite games, because admittedly, my crowd is very game-centric, and they're going to want to hear what you guys are playing. So we'll get into that in a second. My question is, how did you guys meet each other? Obviously, you're in two different, very different parts of the country. How did you guys hook up?
Okay, I guess I'll take that one. So we both started. I came in the same company that he worked for as a software tester. And I had never done it before. He comes in and, like, slowly we get rid of everybody else who was doing it besides the two of us. And then it's just the two of us sitting next to each other with nothing to do for 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, so. the company we worked for. Hold on.
That's awesome, man. That's totally great.
We're both in software development, and very soon after Daku joined the company, sitting next to me, the company went through a restructuring, and everyone was kind of nervous about what was going on, and. While the executives were trying to figure out how to restructure the company, there wasn't a whole lot of projects for us to actually do. So we spent an awful lot of time, you know, goofing around, drawing, reading web comics, talking about, you know, movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And we kind of realized we had the same similar interests. We just had a lot of time on our hands for a couple months, and you know.
Yeah.
That's when we first did our first ideas, and you started drawing everywhere. And then it got busy, and we sort of dropped the whole thing for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know how that can go as well. So the comic itself, Zamson, I notice you're doing one now that involves you two as characters, and I have to say, I think it's great. I hope you guys keep it up. The artwork is incredible. I think the writing is funny. In fact, it's funny that you guys, the ultra fans of webcomics, doing a radio show about webcomics, have such a great webcomic. You know, I passed it around to a few people, and they're like, who is this? I said, well, at first I thought it was some outside guy doing it for you. I had no idea you were doing them, and that's just awesome. Your style's great.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I have a drawer full of half-finished ideas for various different comic strips. And the idea that we're working through now is who the hell are we to tell people what a comic is like if we can't try and come up with one ourselves.
That's a good point.
So.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. That's a great way to connect with your fans, too.
So I came up with these characters to sort of represent us on the website, mostly through icons and the blog posts and that sort of thing. And, you know, I think the idea of these characters really present themselves as perfect opportunities to create a comic strip. The characters themselves sort of represent our tastes, not necessarily us as individuals.
Yeah, they're more personalities on the show as opposed to ourselves.
And as the comic strip goes on, you'll see more and more of that, where the Daku character is a lot more interested in graphic novels, long stories, drama, and the Zamson character is much more into random violence, the gag strips, that sort of thing.
I think I keep
saying that I'm going to have to learn how to draw myself so that I can stop being maimed.
I see. So you
he keeps attacking me.
He's at my mercy.
I've noticed you're kind of the Bert to his Ernie, as far as that goes. the basic style of that strip reminds me of that. You kind of got this one monobrowed, tall, skinny guy that I feel like is getting screwed over by the Ernie all the time.
Yeah, if only I just learned how to draw, I could get him back.
Well, I think that's
awesome. I had the perfect idea, but he won't draw it.
Well, here's a good question for you. I know you guys review a lot of strips. You do a lot of other stuff on the show as well, like interviews and so on. When you do a review of a comic, let's say, it doesn't matter who, someone you've done recently, do you go back and look at their entire archive, even if they're a long-time web comic? Are you looking through the whole thing?
I try to.
Wow.
Yeah. We tend to get through them if they're 500 or less.
Oh, okay. So I fit in there just fine.
what we have a weekly show. So we do it once a week. And when we do a review show, we each choose two comics that we like. And we send each other the links. So we have four comics to go through in a week.
Yeah.
And if the archive is really unwieldy and massive, what I usually do is I'll go through at least the first year and the most recent year.
Yeah, same here.
At the very least. If the comic's been out for less than 2 years, I can almost always get through the entire archive.
Yeah.
And it depends on the update schedule as well. If it's a 7-day-a-week comic that's been out for 5 years, that's much more difficult.
Hurt.
But if it's been out for 3 years and it's really only updated 3 times a week, that's a lot easier to get through.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
But that also illustrates like the problems we have, because we get recommendations for some. Like, for instance, we got a recommendation for Schlock Mercenary,
yeah,
which is updated every day, every single day.
Yeah, that's
for
one,
five
that one's
years.
All, yeah, that's a big archive those guys have.
And it's like, why don't you do a review of Schlock Mercenary? I'm like, we can't do it justice unless we get through at least half of it. So
yeah, that's insane. I don't know how you guys do it. Do you often get recommendations from people? Speaking of recommendations, of comics where it's like their buddy and they really want to pimp out what they're doing, and you guys go look at it and you go, "Oh, this thing's terrible."
Yes,
we used to get a lot more when we were listing them at the end of the show.
Yeah,
but we get about 10 a week, 5 to 10 a week now.
Yeah.
Which still makes our list. I think my list is up to 400 or 500 comics that I have to read because of suggestions. And
well, what's your percentage wise? What do you think is? Is there any gold in there? Or is it all crap?
I'd say 20% of it has, maybe 30% of the stuff that we get submitted to us has some real quality to it.
Yeah.
Maybe not overall, like everything is quality, but something might have extraordinary writing and some weak art, or vice versa, you know. But I'd say about 30% of it has some real, something really worth looking at.
Okay.
Well, then I would throw in the extra 5% because I like manga as well. So
you got to have the manga numbers. All right. Well, hey, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you guys about your trip to Comic-Con and a couple of little questions. You are listening to Extra Life Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey there, my Extra Life listeners. This is Clinton Allvord from Comedy Forecast. I'd like to say that Dean Cain listens to my show, but, well, I don't really know that for sure. However, if you'd like to check it out, I'd appreciate it. It's a comedy podcast in 4 minutes or less. You can check it out at www.comedy4cast.com. Well, that's it. We're done, 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 done. Bye-bye.
And we are back. Welcome back to Extra Life Radio. We are talking to Zamson and Daku the Rogue, the proprietors and hosts of the Digital Strips podcast, and they also run the digitalstrips.com website. Make sure you go check them out, digitalstrips.com. All right, you guys, we were talking about all the fun stuff you guys are up to over there. My question next is, you did a recent trip to Comic-Con in San Diego. Is that correct?
No. Actually, we went to Kineticon.
Oh, it was Kineticon.
Yes.
Oh, I got my research bad. I better get to fire that assistant and hire someone new. Well, all right. That's just as fun. Tell me how that went.
Oh, Kineticon was great. I mean, both Kineticon and Comic-Con are pretty big for webcomics. I'd almost say that they're equal, except that Kineticon is
for
dedicated to...
For webcomics,
right.
Yeah.
But Kineticon is dedicated solely to webcomics. So when you go there, the special guest is a webcomic artist. The panels, the workshops are by webcomic artists. So you get that extra special they get the extra special treatment, and it shows.
Was there anything at the show that really stood out, something that kind of blew you away, or was it all just everybody just kind of hawking their sights and their stuff?
I love the meet and greets. Every artist had to do a meet and greet talking to their fans. So on Friday, I think I went through three of them. There was a lot of flight problems that day, but like I talked to Mines Bigger. I'd never seen them before. Yeah. And I basically spent an hour talking to them. And then there's like on Sunday, we went to a panel with six different webcomics, all of which could support themselves from their webcomic.
Yeah, there's the guys from Apple Geeks, Control, Delete, Paradise Lost, VG Cats.
GU Comics.
Yes, GU Comics.
Are all those guys self-supporting? That's curious to me. I didn't know that. Are they all making it on their own? Wow.
They make their living off their webcomic.
I once got an email from the VG Cats guy, another Scott, as if there aren't enough of us.
Well, if your name is Scott, you're making
a webcomic.
Yeah, you got to do it. But he sent me an email once telling me how inspirational Extra Life was for him to start his comic, and now I'm looking at him going, man, that guy's kicking total butt over there. Anyway, he does. I mean, he's probably one of the, in my mind, one of the best sort of game-related comics out there. So that must have been pretty cool to hear all those guys talk. Did they give any secrets away? I mean, how are they supporting themselves? I need all the help I can get.
They support themselves through merchandise. Every one of them were extremely adamant about always keeping their comic for free. That's how they get started, and that's how they intend to always remain, is that the comic on the website will always be free.
Updating.
Yeah, they totally disregarded the whole concept of micropayments or anything subscriptions to their website, anything like that.
I was going
to
ask you about that micropayment thing if it came up. It sounds like nobody's really interested in that.
They think that it's ridiculous and it will never work. But I mean, they've already become successful through another process, so it's easy for them to disregard it.
Yeah.
Some of them were like, "It sounds nice."
Yeah.
But there doesn't seem to be a practical way to do it.
Was Scott McCloud there? Was he there to refute any of that? Because I know he's really big on that.
He was at Comic-Con.
He was at Comic-Con.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't special like us.
Yeah. Well, that's cool that you guys were able to make the trip. Obviously, this is a perfect trip for you guys to take.
Well, yeah, it was on the East Coast. It was easy for us to get to. I mean, it's the kind of thing that we'd like to do more of in the future, and this was kind of like a, you know, see how it goes kind of trip to see whether it would be successful or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
wow.
We may do more in the future because I think it went pretty well for us.
Yeah. Well, what I want them to do is have a keynote speaker and then record it and then send me the tape so I can be taught how a low 30s, married, three kids, mortgage paying guy can do what they're doing. It's rough, man.
I will say that the six people on the panel were all early 20s.
Yeah, they're pretty young guys. Yeah, there. I mean, the truth is, obviously, we'd all love to be doing this full time. I wish you guys would get paid to do nothing but digital strips, and that's the way you guys made it all meet. But as we know, it can be, you know, it's not that easy.
That would be
a miracle.
Yeah, to say the least. All right, I got another question for you. Comics that you guys like the most? Check every day, Zamson. Let's start with you. What do you look at every day? I mean, you see web comics coming out of your ears, but there've got to be some favorites.
Oh boy, that's a tough question because, like Daku, my link section is hundreds of comics long. But comics that I don't miss every day, I would say Your Mama online.
I like that.
That's one of my favorites. You'll Have That by Wes Mulbash over at Viper Comics. PvP Online, Penny Arcade, Control Delete, those guys, the big names I go to.
Yeah.
I like The Outer Circle, Good Little Robot, PC Weenies.
Oh, yeah, PC Weenies. Actually, we cross-link with each other. He's great.
Yeah, he's real good. And let's see, Dandy and Company. I go to something I haven't really talked about much on the show, but I go to Kegel's site on Slate, and I love the political cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I was surprised when you listed that on your behind-the-scenes profile.
Why's that?
Because that was... when we first got started, that was the first review I did. And it's like always, and you list it as one of your favorite spots. So.
Well, I've been reading that for years. I've been reading political stuff on Slate for a long time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of political cartoons as well. And in fact, some would say Extra Life is nothing more than a political cartoon with an occasional very weird slant. And I think they're probably right. I really dig that format. I like kind of the sort of single panel, tell the whole story in a quick shot type arrangement. Well, Daku, give us a list of some of the stuff you check every day.
Well, I have what I almost call the standard three, which is PvP, Penny Arcade, and Control Alt Delete. But then I have Questionable Content, which I didn't start reading until we started doing the show. I love that one. Also, I love the graphic novel ones. I read Inverlock, Earth Song. See Alpha Shade. For my political, I get Filibuster Cartoons, even though he's Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, I like him too. JJ's awesome.
I get a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I
used to talk to him off and on, and I really dug it on his stuff. His ideas were great. His art style was weird for a political cartoon, but boy, I sure thought he had some pretty sharp stuff until he got like Canadian jokes going, and I wouldn't get him. I was like, who the crap is that guy?
Yeah.
But then those times he usually gave like an explanation, which is he kind of really uses both the picture and the post.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Sometimes you have to, I guess.
Also like Akita, which I'm almost deathly afraid to have them in review, because I like it too much.
Yeah.
Little Gamers, Sore Thumbs.
Oh, quick note on Little Gamers. He emailed me the other day and asked to be on the show. Apparently he's a fan, and so we're going to have him on. I'm told I'll have to have the beep button ready to go when I talk to him. our show tends to be fairly family friendly, but it sounds like I may have to have that at the fingertip the whole time. But you guys interviewed him. He seems like an interesting character. How was that interviewing him?
Madison and Christian.
Yeah, both guys. Sorry.
They were fun.
We were surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that it was bad or good or anything like that, but we're getting on there. We're used to interviews where it's like you basically just sit there and you're chatting and talking. And when we asked them questions, they had these really strong opinions.
Yeah.
And
they're very passionate about the work that they're doing over there and what it means. And it was pretty interesting talking to them. I mean, I think you'll have a fun interview with them.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. We may do this as soon as next week, I hope. But I knew you guys had some experience, and so I'm kind of looking forward to that because they started with GameSpy about the same time I did back in 2001, and I've always wanted to talk to those guys, but I always thought, they got their own thing going. They're European, you know. I don't want to mess with them. But
do you want to talk about archives, which will drive you crazy?
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
That's it. you will go cross-eyed.
Yeah.
Trying to make your way through them.
Yeah, I'll bet. Hey, another question. Well, let me tell you about this .Mac thing I heard. Now, you guys use .Mac account to support your podcast. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The audio show and images on our site are hosted there.
Okay, so all that
we couldn't survive without it.
Yeah, and here's something I heard that may or may not make you too happy. It turns out, I heard this just the other day, that Apple is concerned because a lot of these podcasters are using their .Mac accounts to host their bandwidth, and they are now talking about putting limits on it. And here are the limits I heard. I heard 3 gigabyte is all per month for a standard account. And for a $49 a year upgrade, they'll bump it to 10. So that may not be good.
Oh.
Well, this is great. This is like telling somebody they have AIDS or something on the radio. Break the news to you right in the middle of the show. Anyway, so we'll have to watch. You guys have to keep me up to date. I think we've shocked Zamson into like a coma over there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're gonna do with that. I mean, we already do kind of keep it down. We limit our show archives to the previous 10 episodes of Digital Strips. Because I'm, you know, you got to be concerned about bandwidth and the amount of space that the stuff takes up. But I think we may.
Dang it! I'm trying to convince him of that.
Hey, everybody!
We
cannot
afford to get a dedicated server.
We're back on the show, and we're listening to an argument between Zamson and Daku about getting a dedicated server or not, which I think is great. We had a little Skype problem there, but we were just talking about kind of the challenges of podcasting. This is a little off the webcomic subject, but it's something all us podcasters have to deal with. And we were talking about how you guys are, you know, may need to do something. I may slip you behind the scenes a couple of connections on maybe some sponsored sites. You guys are in a position where you'd be kind of lucrative to them. So don't let me forget to do that. Look at me wheeling and dealing right on the air. All right. Last thing I wanted to talk about. We're getting pretty close to the end here. And that is the future of webcomics. Now, try to forget for a minute that I have a vested interest in that as a web cartoonist myself. Let's just forget my whole role in it. I want to know your opinions on where you think it's headed, where it's kind of not so much where it's been, but where you think it is today and where you think it's headed tomorrow. Let's start with Zamson. Let's start with you. I want to get your opinion on that.
Well, that's an odd question to be asked, because we ask that to other comic artists whenever we interview them. So to maybe think about it, and bar none, from every single person we've talked to and asked that question, we get the exact same answer, which is I have no idea. it's still a very new concept. I think there's a lot of potential there, as long as people keep in mind that what we're talking about is an interesting means of distribution and not necessarily a totally different form. It's not exactly a different art form. It's a way of getting the traditional art form of comics into the hands or eyeballs of your audience. So,
very well put. I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
So as long as people keep that in mind and look at it from that point of view, I see a bright future for it. But it's got to go through a birthing process, because, you know, like you pointed out, there's a lot more crap out there than there's that are high quality, and there doesn't exist yet a repeatable business model that everyone can follow.
Yeah.
If you look in print comics, there's a path to follow to go from wanting to draw to become a professional cartoonist. You know, you can learn how to draw, you can go to art school, you can put together a portfolio, you can submit your work, you can go on job interviews, and there's a whole process. But success in web comics, that doesn't exist yet. Everyone who's successful has their own story that always involves chance meetings and, you know, things that just sort of happen to them, that is not the same for someone else as being financially successful in this.
Yeah.
There's no repeatable path for other people to follow. And until something like that starts to come along, you know, people aren't going to make money at this at a consistent rate, which means it's not going to be considered legitimate.
Yeah.
But I think it will come. I think it will happen. I think there's enough people who are passionate about trying to get their own independent stuff into everyone's hands on the internet that a way will be found, and hopefully we'll be there to report on it.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. Daku, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I come at it from a almost completely different perspective. For me, it's the web. Where it is now, it'll never get worse. So it'll always get better. No matter how good it gets, it'll be at a teetering point. And I don't see it ever going away, but what I do see, or actually what I'm afraid of, is the whole, like, what happened to podcasting instantaneously.
Yeah.
When we saw the indie artists get overwhelmed by the big corporations.
Yeah,
I'm almost afraid to see that happens, but it's a twofold problem, or because it has its also gains. When companies start getting into webcomics and using them to make money, that's when you'll see the business model. But it's also when you'll see the quality of the webcomics go down the drain. Well, yeah. the ease to find the good ones. Because it's the web, the good ones will always be there, but the other ones will be easier to find.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I see webcomics, it's not going to take over the world. It's not going to be a revolution in comic industry, and comic industry is not going to go away. But it'll become another avenue that can either become a renaissance, like where both the print industry and comic books use it as an avenue to figure out what to sell.
Yeah.
Or it can become another graveyard of corporations.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I totally agree with both of you guys. I think there's aspects of webcomics that have burned themselves out, and there's other parts that have yet to show their true colors. And so it'll be exciting to kind of be around to see it happen. I know this, though. It's nice knowing that there's a couple of guys who care enough about webcomics to really put your guts into it. And you may not even know it, but there's a real sense when I listen to your podcast that these guys are serious about webcomics. This isn't just another pod fate show, you know, that's going to be gone in 3 weeks. These are guys that really dig on what they're talking about, and it definitely shows. So I commend you guys for doing it.
People keep coming back and telling us we were doing a good job, because when we first started the show,
yeah,
we never told anybody.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're getting, I don't know, a couple hundred hits. We haven't said anything.
Sure.
I mean, all we ever did was, all we've ever done is email the people we review.
Yeah. Well, you found a niche, because what can happen is just as quickly, well, as soon as I got reviewed, first thing I did was post it in the blog, and then suddenly more people know about the Digital Strips podcast, and it just kind of can grow from there. So I think you guys are just doing a great service, and whether or not however the fans come to you, they will come, because my experience with podcasting, the ones I listen to, I gravitate toward the ones that are like this, the ones that care. I, for example, love the MacCast. Yeah. It's great. And the reason it's great isn't because he's got some fancy sound effects or great intro music or any of this kind of stuff. It's because he just gives really great, hardcore Mac info the whole freaking 45 minutes or whatever it is.
And I listen to that show.
Yeah, it's really good. He really cares about the stuff he's talking about. And I think you guys are on the road to that same sort of thing. And so even though it's a niche, and some might say, oh, it's a tiny niche. Well, so what? It's still a niche, and that's powerful, I think.
It's a niche with a billion people.
The seriousness that you're talking about, yes, I treat this very seriously, because ever since I was a little kid, I've loved comics. I love comic strips mostly. I read comic books for a long time. But there was a long time there where both those industries sort of fell apart and are still falling apart. I mean, comic strips, you open up a newspaper, which has low circulation, you know, nowadays, and you're not going to laugh at the comic strip page. At least I don't.
No,
this
I never
stuff
do.
Is dull.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's dull. It's repetitive. And, you know, I can point out at least three or four comic strips that are in my local paper alone where the creators are dead.
Yeah.
I mean, where's the space for new, interesting cartoonists?
Yeah.
If you want to become a cartoonist, where are you going to go?
The creator of Blondie is like 115 years old now.
Yeah.
Or should be.
The Peanuts is still running in there. Charles Schulz has been dead for, what, a year or two now?
Yeah, yeah.
Since when is the best thing that can happen in a comic a wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. God. And comic books, I mean, they're better, but still, I mean, back in the early 90s, that industry just devoured itself with multiple covers and foil covers and collector's editions, and people, I mean, it was just all crap. And that whole industry is still reeling from what happened. I mean, a third of the comic book stores that existed, you know, closed, and all the titles got canceled.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I first came across the my very first web comic, you know, it was like a light went off over my head. Like, okay, here's this art form's chance to come back. Here's a chance for independent voices and new cartoonists to finally put their work out there. And that sort of passion for this art form and the potential of the internet to revitalize it is really what pushes my passion for doing what we're doing.
That's great. Well, I completely share your passion. I think you guys are on the right track. And I want to thank you guys both for being part of the show this week. It was a little struggle getting us all on Skype tonight, but we did finally do it. I know it's late where you are. And so thanks for being here. We may have to do this again sometime.
Sure. It was a pleasure.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. You have been listening to Extra Life Radio. My name is Scott Johnson, your host. If you'd like to comment on everything you've heard here today, and I'm sure that you do, send your responses to radio@myextralife.com. Or you can call me on the Beef line, 206-350-BEEF, and heck, we'll even play you on the show. We have another group show planned for next Tuesday. Going to be a good one. I'm not exactly sure on the topic yet, but don't worry, we'll have a good one as usual. And thanks again for being there, all you guys, all you fans, and we'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Extra Life Podcast. If you'd like to participate, call the Beef line, 206-350-BEEF, or send us an email, radio@myextralife.com.